Welcome to Inside Maryland Politics. I'm Fraser Smith, WYPR senior news analyst and columnist for the Daily Record. My guest is Andy Green, the editorial page editor of the Baltimore Sun. Andy, here we are in the new era of governance here in Baltimore. We don't actually have a new mayor yet, and we don't even have a mayor-elect yet because there's a general election in front of us. But everybody knows that in a city like this with a 10-to-1 voter edge for the Democrats, Catherine Pugh is going to be the new mayor.
Yeah, so, barring some kind of cataclysmic event, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. And almost immediately, even though she has an unusually long period of time before she becomes the mayor, we could almost think of her as the mayor in waiting or something.
The mayor presumptive, I think, is the phrase I'd like to coin here. But yeah, in the past, we've typically had mayoral primaries in September, which gave a relatively short period until the December inauguration. Now we're talking late April. So she does have a long time. She's already started talking about how her cabinet might shape up. For example, she wants to keep Lena Wen as the health commissioner, which I think is a slam dunk pick. She wants to keep Kevin Davis as the police commissioner, at least for now, which makes sense in that we do have this Justice Department review hanging over the city's heads.
And he's getting good marks, basically. People think well of him, I think.
Yeah, although the crime numbers aren't certainly where we would want them to be. But nonetheless, I think it makes sense to stay the course for a while. But I think there are some big public issues that she ought to weigh in on now while they're still going on, even before she becomes mayor. The first one that comes to mind is the Port Covington development proposed by Sagamore and the massive tax increment financing proposal they've put before the city.
Sagamore being Kevin Plank.
Right, his development company. And she obviously doesn't have an official role. This is in front of the city council now, but I think she's uniquely positioned to be able to talk to Sagamore, talk to the BDC, go through the numbers, talk to the public, and help us come to an understanding of whether this is a good deal, a bad deal, something that needs to be changed. The city council doesn't have to listen to her, of course, but this is going to be something that the consequences, either whether we do it or not, are going to be with us for many, many years.
What's the number again?
$535 million in tax increment financing. So I think it would be helpful for the public to know where she stands and to help her lead a conversation about that. Another big thing that she ought to weigh in on is City Schools CEO Gregory Thornton. There's been a lot of talk around town among lawmakers, advocates, and others about the idea that he ought to be replaced. She hasn't taken a really solid position on that. I think she should. She wants to be held accountable as a mayor for the schools, which I think is a good thing. And that's step one.
And something else that you and I have talked about a little bit is the charter change, and her relationship with the council will be there, and it would be good for people to see what her thinking is on that.
Yeah, in our endorsement interview with her, she said she is distinctly against these charter amendments, and she promised to lead the charge against them on the fall if they should end up on the ballot. So I certainly hope she'll follow through with that.
Well, we don't have a new mayor yet, but in effect, we have a sort of a quasi-mayor, so we'll see how it goes. Andy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Fraser.
For Andy Green, I'm Fraser Smith, and you've been listening to Inside Maryland Politics on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.